Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
This little book. And for those who don't know what book I'm talking about, I'm obviously talking about the book. It's the Bible. And I say that because Bible, basically, isn't it Latin for book?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's like just the book.
Or at least like Biblio is.
The holy book of Biblio. Yeah, that makes sense. So
I could be wrong, though.
It's really fascinating, and I've read the Bible far more than most Christians. And when I was growing up, my uncle and my aunt were our babysitters. And you can tell I've been in New Hampshire long enough that I say aunt. Or New England in general. Because in the South, it's not your aunt. It's your aunt.
Is that why I say it? I've always hated when people say aunt. I'm like, ew. Even though I look at the word and it looks probably correct, I can't accept that.
Everyone that I've ever seen in the South said aunt. And my entire life, I said aunt.
I never thought about why I said it, but
as I come here and I hear more and more people say aunt, and I look at the words, I'm like, yes, using this word is making, it's othering me to some extent, right? And my whole thing is to remove the Southern dialect from my speech, so I've stopped saying aunt, and now I say aunt.
I don't think I can.
So my Aunt Pam and my aunt and uncle, you got my aunt's name by a slip up. You're not getting the uncle as well. You can find these people on my Facebook if you're, I mean, that's what these trolls do, right?
Yeah.
So anyway,
they got my sister.
They were our babysitters. And every day at one point, I mean, it was fine at first. And then at one point they were like, no, we need more Jeebus in our lives. So we're going to do Bible time. That's what they called it. Bible time.
Sounds terrible. Every single day.
Where they read the Bible to us from beginning to end, and
is that even possible?
They didn't read the Bible in its entirety every day, obviously. No, we didn't make it all the way through the Bible. We made it an alarming way through the Bible, though. Obviously, we started with Genesis, and we worked through, and we got through a lot of the Old Testament, and then we skipped ahead to the New Testament for unknown reasons. Because
a lot of it is just so boring and redundant. Like I know all the New Testament.
Like the book of
books.
Micah. Who's reading
I don't know
that?
All of the books of the New Testament. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know all the books of any of it. But
I meant to say old. I know all the books of the New Testament because I learned a song.
Okay.
So I know all of them.
Nice. I don't know a song or a mnemonic or anything to know the Bible that well. But it does get boring and repetitive. And like, the thing that made Jesus the Son of God was in the book of Elijah, as I understand it, and that was one of the ones that we skipped. But one of the things I noticed while doing this is that there is a lot of death and, like, God killing people and overreacting to things. One of the best examples was Elisha, I don't remember. There were different prophets, but one of them, he was going into some city. And some kids laughed at him for being bald. So he did what what any rational, sane, healthy, well-adjusted person would do. And he asked God to kill them. So he summoned a she-bear. And I remember this because the Bible specifically used the word she-bear to maul and kill and eat these kids for laughing at him.
Sounds fair.
For being bald. And that's not terribly
Chris
uncommon.
Chris Wade does that all the time.
In the Bible. He does
what? Summons bears to eat people?
He makes jokes about being bald, so I feel like
sure.
It's fine.
I mean, if you're going to be bald, you gotta have a good sense of humor.
He made
about
a joke
it, right?
That he should get a kippah.
Is that one of the Jewish things?
Yeah, I think there's another word other than kippah.
Yarmulke?
Yarmulke. He said he needs to start just wearing a yarmulke without being Jewish because he's bald just right there.
I mean, to each their own, right? Or like a toupee or wig. That's what I would do. If I was losing my hair, I would just shave it all off. This seems like the easier solution. But
yeah,
anyway.
I like the look of like totally bald men sometimes.
The Bible's got some really horrific stuff in it, and it condones human sacrifice, like literally killing people. Christianity is a death cult, people like to say. And
oh, yeah.
One of the things it does is it literally advocated killing people in service to God. And I'm not talking about Abraham and Isaac here. That's the one people are always point to. And they're like, okay, well, God told Abraham not to kill Isaac, though. So, see, it's a test of Abraham's faith.
Example.
Yes. But then you get to the story of Jephthah. And I think that was in Judges, if I remember correctly. But Jephthah was a warlord, because they were almost always warlords, and he was pretty upfront about being a warlord, and he promised God, look, I'm going into this battle. If you make us victorious, then the first thing that comes out of my house when I return, I will sacrifice to you. And the first thing that came out of his house when he returned from the successful battle was his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So his daughter went into the mountains and bemoaned her virginity for 30 days, whatever that means. Right? I don't have any idea, but that's what it says. She wailed and bemoaned her virginity. I guess she was like, I'm going to die a virgin. I guess that's my interpretation.
That's what I would think, too.
And she did this for 30 days, and then she came back, and then Jephthah fulfilled his promise, and he sacrificed his living daughter.
Wow.
To Yahweh. And that is literally in the Bible. And Christians like to ignore that. And they like to point to Abraham and Isaac. But like, yeah, just go a few more chapters ahead or a few more books ahead. And you will find a literal human sacrifice in that little book you love so much.
Well, a promise is a promise.
Yeah. That's and crazy. So maybe he was just testing Abraham's faith. But Jephthah's daughter didn't get the same courtesy. And that's something. But
well, women are unclean, so.
That's what they say, but they say some other stuff. Now, I pulled up the King James Bible here because, Bronnie, you brought something to my attention that I had never given any thought to. I remember the Bible verse. I don't have the entire Bible memorized by any means. There are some verses that I have memorized, and I can remember about where things are. Like, I remember that Jephthah is in the book of Judges somewhere, but, like, as far as going, no, that's in Judges 17:27, I don't know.
I got pretty close. Last segment, I said that that I quoted was Genesis 1:6, but no, it was Genesis 1:27. And I got pretty close to the exact words.
You are absolutely correct. Of course, Genesis 1, where it was 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on to then specify all of the different things that God created. And apparently, God doesn't like the 8-hour workday because he only did some things. And you got to think, this guy is omnipotent, right? So, like, literally, just by wanting these things to exist, he could make it all happen instantly, but he chose not to.
He said he had to speak them into existence. So you're right, I didn't think about the fact that he wasn't able to just want them into existence.
Oh, he had to speak them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
that sounds easy enough,
you know? But it's like a computer program where you have to, or it's like an AI prompt. That's exactly what it is.
Well, we are in a matrix.
It's like it's not Midsummer. It's a Midjourney AI prompt. The entire universe was created by Midjourney AI prompt, where God had to carefully consider exactly what he wanted to have created. And that takes time, apparently, and energy, and he had to rest, and, you know, he couldn't do so much. We don't want to overload the guy with creating both plants and animals in the same day. Give the guy a break and let him have his smoke breaks. Anyway, you are right. After all of these other things are created, we go to chapter 1, verse 27, which is, and this is the King James Version, so it's generally regarded as the most Latin accurate version, as I understand it. There may be something better. I don't speak Latin or Aramaic or Hebrew. Well, I guess it would be Hebrew or whatever language the Bible was written in. I don't speak it, so I don't know what the original text says, and I don't think it really matters because this is what people around me that have been around me my entire life describe as the uncontested, absolutely true Word of God. So let's go to it. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Own is italicized, emphasized. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, this is not just, and this is just Adam, right? Just Adam was created.
I don't think it gives a name yet. I think the name comes after they get separated.
I'm going to have to read further into it because it does point out later that, or it implies later, or it states, without calling attention to it, that there were other people created because when the Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve were exiled from the Garden of Eden, Cain took a wife from the other peoples, right? So I don't know exactly what it means here. Maybe it doesn't draw a direct connection to Adam, but he's referring to one person here. I'm assuming that he does. He refers to one person here, and it's Adam. And he refers to Adam as a they, them.
I think at this point, this was the only being. I mean, the only human being, because
it certainly sounds that way.
Of the fact that the person, whether he called him Adam yet or not, gets lonely. God sees that it's lonely and puts him into a deep sleep, takes a piece of his rib out, and creates Eve.
It's amazing to me. In the image of God, and that's nothing but human ego. Of course, I mean, if we had a planet full of otters out there, and they had evolved to be otters, and
they're so cute.
They are. And, you know, you have otter planet full of otters and other lives. They would have a religion, and in their religion, their God
would look like an otter.
Yeah. Or, at worst, he would look like an otter combined with other animals, as we see in ancient Egypt and other religions where they have
heads of elephants. And
because they're drawing inspiration from the world around them, and they're looking for explanations of how all of these things came to be. That's why the sun is regarded as a chariot being ridden around the sky. And we laugh about that. We think, oh, how quaint. But these people didn't know the scale. And that, how else are they going to describe this glowing orb in the sky that just goes from one side to the other each day and then is inexplicably followed by this other one that isn't quite as bright, but is still bright? So they were just looking for the world around them for inspiration, and that's why they had human gods and animal gods. Fascinating. I never gave this any conversation. I'm going to have to read some more. And
I just brought it up. I think it's interesting for the
It's amazingly interesting.
Listeners, because in the last segment, there was a man who said, I'm a Bible-fearing Christian, and that's why I don't like trans people and say that they're mutants and imps.
Well, whether he's right or wrong, we had a caller a few weeks ago who I really want to clip that call because I'm proud of the way that I responded. Because she said that she didn't believe in trans people. She supports the right of everyone to do whatever they want. And that's beautiful, right? We should all support that. But on a religious point, she didn't believe that God would create trans people because God doesn't make mistakes. And my argument to her was that, well, no part of this requires it to be a mistake for trans people to exist. God could make trans people on purpose.
Yeah.
Just like he created men on purpose. Now the Bible doesn't ever say God created man and woman and then people who were switched between the two, but trans people do exist.
Like, I'm not saying this is proof of anything, but TJ said this on the air, so I don't feel bad to say it. He said that when he overdosed on something and he died, and he went to like a black, all black place, and he was talking to another person that was there, that was God to him in that moment. He asked, "Why did you make me gay?" And it said, "Because I wanted to make you gay. I didn't want to make you like everyone else. I wanted you to be exactly how you were."
Yeah, what's right? Yeah,
that's totally
that
plausible.
Reasonable. I mean, why wouldn't God make gay people? I mean, obviously. I don't know how else anything could be true, right?
Population control.
The idea is that God is ultimately in control, that God is omnipotent, not very powerful.
All powerful.
All powerful. And that's an important distinction. Because everything that happens, even the meddling done by the devil, according to some aspects of Christian theology, is being allowed by God. And you can find this explicitly in the book of Job. Where Satan wants to screw with God's creation. Like, that's the whole point of the book. He's like, hey, you know, you got this little devout guy over here, but he's only devout because you're nice to him. Give me free rein to mess his life up, and he'll turn away from you. That was the entire point of Job. And God's like, nope, you're wrong. I'll take your bet. So God makes a bet with Satan.
When you mean with Job's life.
Yes, but he wasn't allowed to harm Job. There were rules at first. He couldn't harm Job or Job's family.
Hmm.
And one by one, all of these rules got pulled back.
Hmm.
And ultimately, Job asks God for forgiveness, saying that he has sinned and God has granted Job, in his arrogance, he was basically asking, why are you letting bad things happen to good people? And that's the moral of the story is, Job sinned by questioning God and why God was letting these bad things happen to him. And
you don't know about my bet with Satan.
Right. And I think that's a fair criticism, right? Like, okay, why? But you did this to win a bet with the devil.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that better?
I hate Job right. just because of this.
But so the gist of God responds like in the most arrogant way possible, saying, how dare you ask me that? You're insignificant. I'm the creator of the universe. All that is, all that was, and all that shall be is within my control. It is beyond your ability to understand why I do the things that I do, and you have no right to even ask me that, which would be a good argument if you weren't doing this because of a bet with Satan.
But, you know, turning it on them.
Right. It's gaslighting.
Yeah,
it's gaslighting
super manipulative.
In the extreme.
Yeah.
Because really it all boiled down to God just wanted to win his bet with Satan. And then it was like, oh, man, that was really screwed up for me. Now I have to justify it. Oh, wait, no, I don't. Because he's a peasant to me. He's meaningless to me. And that's all of Christianity. It's the most... It plants the seed that allows authoritarianism to grow in people's hearts. Because as a whole... It defines what is right and what is wrong as obedience to authority.
Yep.
The reason Adam and Eve sinned was because they disobeyed. Everything that anyone has ever done that was considered a sin was disobedience of God. And why did they disobey? Well, because they questioned it. They thought maybe they know better. But that was the sin, the disobedience of the authority figure saying, obey me, and if you don't, I will punish you. That's the whole of Christianity. And so it's no surprise that we live in a society now where people are like, no, if you run a stop sign, you're being immoral and you should be punished. But like, there's nothing immoral about running a stop sign. But in the worldview that is poisoned by Christianity, it is immoral because you disobeyed an authority. And that's the sin.
And obviously, we would all here agree that it's immoral if you see someone coming to just say, I'm going anyway, and cause a car accident. But
right, well, that's causing an accident.
That's different than looking both ways, seeing that you can go, and going before stopping. Because you didn't do anything immoral in that just because you disobeyed.
But they defined their entire worldview off of that basic idea that you have to obey authority, and anything the authority says is right, because they're the authority. And if you don't obey, the authority will punish you. That's the entire basis of their morality. And it's horrifying. And they don't even realize it. And it bleeds directly into statism where you have... And obviously it's God, right? Like, okay, good, I'll give it to you. If there's an omnipotent creator of the universe... Well, let's scratch omnipotent from the conversation because it has no place in any rational conversation. If we have a powerful creator of the universe who cares what I do and says... Do what I say or I'll punish you. Well, okay, well, I can't really do anything about that, right? You're immoral, but you're in charge here. You've got a gun to my head, so I'm going to do this thing that I think is immoral because you're going to punish me if I don't. That's not a good motivation.
I'm trying to save you from his punishment he was going to give you.
But it just doesn't sound very, like, all good or all loving.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't sound very loving to me. That
he loves authority.
Yeah, doesn't sound very ethical to me.
And it bleeds directly into society, again, where you have cops who are like, if you disobey the police, you did something wrong.
Yeah.
And I can kill you.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if the police's order was wrong. And it doesn't matter if you disobeyed the government on this law. Like, we went out to Central Square during the COVID era, and we, you know, hung out, and we didn't wear masks. People argued that we were immoral, that we were wrong. We were committing sins. By doing these things, even though we weren't hurting anyone, we weren't harming anyone, we were disobeying the authority. And that is the real ultimate sin. I wish Christians understood that, but they don't. So, moving on.
Well, turning it back, Job, back on that lady that called in and said, oh, well, God wouldn't make a mistake. Wouldn't God tell her, I'm all powerful and you don't know why I do the things I do?
Oh, that's a really good point as well. Well, she did say she was going to. She wasn't hostile by any means, and I tremendously appreciate that. But she did say that's a really good point, Aria, and I'm going to pray on that. I wish I had thought about it then, because that's exactly it, and it's stated outright in the book of Job. You know, like, God clearly, if I exist and God is in control, then God created me specifically to be a trans person. And the reasons for that would be beyond my comprehension or beyond her comprehension. And how dare she ask that according to the book of Job? I don't think so. I think it's a fair question. And you should be able to ask any question that you want to ask. But the biblical God disagrees.
I just like pointing out when they're totally inconsistent.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. I never considered that in the context of Job. So Barnaby did ultimately issue a brief apology saying, I would like to apologize to the trans community for referring to you as demons. And this is bad writing on their part because they haven't actually gotten to his quote at this point, to the real meat of this quote. The bill under consideration isn't important. It's some safety in... Look, oh my God, it's called the Safety in Private Spaces Act. So they know these bathrooms are not public bathrooms. They know they're private spaces. It would make it a second-degree misdemeanor, whatever that means, for adults in Florida to use a public restroom or a changing facility inconsistent, like a dressing room at a gym, that is inconsistent with their sex assigned at birth. So, yes, your ID is not good enough. They're basing this off the sex you were assigned at birth. But what if you've had surgery and there's no outward indication whatsoever that you're trans?
I guess it doesn't sound like they care.
They don't
because
care.
Because it's your
right.
sex assigned at birth. So you're sinning against God because you're whatever.
And it tasks schools with establishing disciplinary procedures for students who violate the proposed law. And this is the best example I can put forward of DeSantis not being pro-liberty. And Bonnie has a better one that we're going to get into shortly. But he's very clearly not pro-liberty. He constantly meddles in the education system. You were going to say something? Sorry.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I didn't get why it was meddling in the education system. Is this only specifically for schools?
Well, DeSantis himself isn't writing this. This is some House of Representatives bill. But it does also involve schools have to establish disciplinary procedures for students who violate the law.
Oh, yeah. Don't Say Gay thing was his thing.
Yes, that was also his. He's very much against allowing the woke agenda in school. That's what he calls it. I did, finger quotes for the woke agenda. Barnaby on Monday directed his remarks at several transgender speakers who testified against the bill during a public comment period. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and all of your demons and all of your imps will come parade before us.
Oh my God, what?
That's right, I called you demons and imps who come and parade before us and pretend that you are part of this world.
I totally believe his apology.
My righteous indignation is stirred. I am sick and tired of this. You can test me and try to take me on, but I promise I'll win every time. It's Free Talk Live.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and 6 kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Victims from this week's bank shooting in Louisville, Kentucky are remembered with vigils Wednesday. At the same time earlier, we heard 911 calls from during the chaos.
Has anybody been shot?
Yes.
How many people? I don't know, 8 or 9.
8 or 9 people have been shot.
Uh-huh.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear opened up about his personal connection to Monday's shooting.
I lost one of my best friends on Monday, but I've got 2 friends and more that survived.
And all 5 were killed, 9 wounded. Ukrainian officials are once again asking for American fighter jets to aid its fight against Russia. On Wednesday, Ukrainian Prime Minister Denis Shmyhal directly appealed to U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin for fighter jets and long-range missiles. Shmyhal says Ukraine will win the war, but would achieve victory faster and with fewer casualties if they had the longer-range weapons. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Live, and you can still join us. You get on the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you. Even if you're a Christian, you're invited to call. A Christian called us 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks ago that this happened, not last week. I think I said earlier it was last week. We talk to Christians all the time, and that's sort of expected considering we're on radio and we're broadcast to a lot of conservative listeners. And you know, that's totally fine. You know? And it's okay to disagree. And there's beauty in that. Bonnie and I disagreed about something earlier, and here we are.
It is my favorite subject to argue.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a good one to argue. I'm not prepared to argue it on the air because it's such a complex topic, and it requires me to not be on 2 hours of sleep for 2 days at the least, and some preparation because I used to love topics like that.
So much more important than the stuff the Bible talks about.
Absolutely. And I used to love it. I used to, you know, get off on debating this stuff with people in these meaningless debates. But it was so fun and they were engaging and they made my brain work in ways that it doesn't normally work. But I'm so out of practice with it.
If you want to hear a 3-hour-long debate about that same subject that was really interesting, go to Liberty Policy Alliance's Twitter and also give in the donation link.
I bought a skateboard recently because I was like, I'm going to, you know, I need more things to do to be active, and I'm grew up skateboarding, so, but man, I haven't skateboarded in such a long time. I figured I would be able to just grab a skateboard, you know, go back to doing my kickflips and ollies. No, dude, I can't even ollie anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the trick where you just jump and make the board come with you, right? That's like the number one trick. That's the most basic trick, and I cannot do it. And I'm like, why isn't this working? This is how it works, but I'm not doing something right. And I'm basically, it's been so long since I skateboarded that I'm basically starting over from the beginning, and it sucks.
Like, you need to rebuild that muscle memory.
Yeah, I can't even balance myself properly on this. Like, dang.
Maybe your center of gravity has changed since you were just a different age and everything.
I've definitely grown a lot, right? I'm not the last time I seriously skateboarded, I think I was probably 15 or 16. So I don't have a lot of practice. But what I was getting at was that it's a skill, and by not using that skill at all, I completely lost that skill. Like, I might as well be a novice, brand new skateboarder, except that I have some knowledge, even if my body doesn't know how to use it anymore. And that's sort of what happens with the objectivity versus subjectivity philosophical debate, is that I haven't done this in 5, 6, 7 years, it's all gone to me at this point.
I was just thinking about it for 3 hours yesterday. I voted so early. Like, they were like, please wait till the end to vote. And I was like, no, I'm voting for Jacob Torville now. He's so right. And anyways, it was great. I don't know. Does Twitter save spaces so you can replay them? Either way.
I haven't even heard of this. So you explaining it on the show tonight was the first time I had ever heard of Twitter spaces.
Do you have the app on your phone or do you use the website?
No, I have the app.
Oh, yeah. Because you can only access it through the website. So I didn't know about it for a while, too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, sorry, through the app. I used to always use the website.
So do you, when these things happen, do you share and retweet? Do you like and retweet them? Okay, so follow Bonnie on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you want to stay up to date on these sorts of things.
I'm FTL, like Free Talk Live, FTL _ Bonnie.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And let's keep going with the phone. Well, before we go to the phones, I've got to tell you about tonight's amplifier. That means this person, whose name is unknown at the moment, is a member of the AMPS program, stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. Because we are a viewer-supported show at this point. We have begun resuming ads for Porcupine Real Estate. That's a long time thing. I don't even know if I would call them an advertiser, because even though we are advertising, and we're like, we know Mark Warden, he's such a friend of the show, and, you know, he wrote a letter for me on behalf of me to the judge, so it's like,
he shows up to everything, he shows up to the trial.
It's like, I can't even consider this guy an advertiser. He's just a friend who's doing something awesome that I want to share with people.
Yeah, you don't have to pay us to say nice things about Porcupine Real Estate.
I think they do pay us to say nice things about
them. But they wouldn't have to. Right. We probably,
I'm positive that we've mentioned Mark Warden and Porcupine Real Estate outside of the context of the advertisements repeatedly. But that's because we are a viewer-supported show these days. So I want to say thank you to Tom McMillan. That's tonight's amplifier. That means that Tom is a member of the AMPS program. Again, that's amps.freetalklive.com. And if you like the show, if you value the show, if you like the topics and you want to help us reach a larger audience and build a bigger, better show, then join the AMPS program. That's amps.freetalklive.com. It only takes $5 per month. And, you know, this goes to support the show, to directly keep it funded, to keep the lights on, to pay the electricity, to pay the hosts, and all of these other things that, you know, are necessary to have something like this happening. And it gets pricey. amps.freetalklive.com. If you want to keep the show going and make sure that it continues going indefinitely, that's the best way to do it. amps.freetalklive.com. Plus, there are all sorts of testimonials of people like Lynn Jacob. That's probably one of the best testimonials for Free Talk Live ever, because he wasn't a libertarian.
Because he exited the left-right paradigm?
Yes. He was just, that Bonnie's mentioning one of the commercials that has him, but he was just driving through somewhere one night, apparently. And he happened to stumble across Free Talk Live, and so he started listening. He was like, man, these guys make some pretty good points. So he started looking into it, and then he became a libertarian. And then he ran for mayor, and then he became a libertarian mayor in Tennessee, all because of Free Talk Live.
That's awesome.
amps.freetalklive.com.
You know, there's a huge debate that basically I started on Twitter among the libertarians in New Hampshire, which is like, is it possible to convert our way to freedom, or do we need to just get everyone who's born libertarian genetically to move to New Hampshire? And I think it's
a born libertarian.
Right. I think it's a mixture. I don't think that people are born genetically libertarian.
They're thinking gay people and trans people. That's what. See, they've confused the things again.
Well,
I'm being facetious, obviously.
I think that you need a little bit of both, like getting the people who are libertarian convinced to move here, but also changing more people who aren't libertarian into libertarians and then getting them to move here. Because there's just not enough libertarians.
I think a lot of people get too into, like, oh, well, you're not a real libertarian. Like, they get too into, like, the fine details. Like, unless you're, like, a well-read, you know, philosopher, you can't be a real libertarian. And I think a lot of people have these libertarian philosophies and ideologies already instilled in them, but they might not just have a name for it yet. They might not know... Yeah. A name for what they are, or they might not have read a ton of books, but they are just naturally feeling this way.
And I think you're right, because, like, most people don't vote. Less than half the population votes. And almost everyone would agree with the statement that it's wrong to hit people and take their stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's libertarianism.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the statist beliefs are just instilled in us at such a young age and with public school. So it does take a little bit to rewire your brain and kind of unlearn some of those concepts. It can be difficult for people to even imagine a world without government, without the state. Like, how would we survive without taxation and without the government paying for all of this stuff and setting up all of these funds and services for us? That is unimaginable for a lot of people, and it just takes a little bit to learn different concepts and start to learn alternatives.
But you won't if no one out there is talking about these things at all. If it's just an unquestioned, oh, it's a given, we live because of the government, or our lives are good because of the government existing, well, then you're just never going to even question that.
Very well said. AMPS.freetalklive.com. Thank you so much, Tom. We hope you continue amplifying and supporting the show, and we hope you're not too religious. If you are, we hope we haven't upset you. Well, I mean, I don't care if you're religious and I upset you. I hope that you can see past that in the same way that, you know, people don't like trans people, and I see past that and still interact with them, even as we disagree about these things, and even as people call me mentally ill, like, you know, the singer from All That Remains, who I have unfollowed because he's just...
I unfollowed him because he's being super conservative ever since Tim Kast.
Like, this issue is making the liberty-leaning conservatives just ever more conservative. And he's like, no, some of my friends are trans, and they're some of the most sweetest and kindest people I know. Well, how many of them have unfollowed you while you've been running your mouth on Twitter? How many of these trans people are still your friends?
Because you can give someone a compliment doesn't mean you're also not being extremely offensive to them. It's like, I mean, imagine if it was somebody saying, like, listen, I am... like, whatever race, and I don't like, I mean, black, you know, white people are mentally ill, white people live life wrong, and they shouldn't, you know, exist, but I know some that are sweet, and, you know, that doesn't help your situation.
Yeah, if you ever find yourself saying, no, I don't really feel this way, I've got some ex-friends, and I'm clearly not bigoted, or whatever, that's how you know you're on the wrong path, right? I'm not racist. I have black friends. Okay, hold on. Something here has gone fundamentally wrong. And I'm not homophobic. I have gay friends. Something has gone wrong. So I've unfollowed him, and I don't remember why I got into that in the first place, but amps.freetalklive.com. Oh, upsetting people and unfollowing them. Like, I would still be cordial with him in person, and I probably still wouldn't go see their shows because I've never been a real fan of All That Remains in the first place. I wouldn't be able to name a single All That Remains song because it's just not the kind of music that I...
I didn't know how big they were until that guy moved to New Hampshire as a free stater for a while. He seemed to move away. Or maybe he, like, still owns the house here but also lives in West Virginia. But anyways, I have heard of the name of the band, but I had no idea they were, like, platinum albums.
Yeah. I mean, they're well-known. But they're not... That's just not a genre of music that I was ever really into.
What genre is it? I have no clue.
I would call it new death metal, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's not quite new metal. It's heavier than that. But it's also not Lamb of God.
Okay.
It's sort of between the two. And I'm sure there's a term for it that exists. I would just call it new death metal.
Okay.
It's sort of a blend of new metal and death metal, I guess, which new metal would be more closely called rock. But anyway... Still friends with the guy. I was still associated with him. I don't need that negativity in my feed. I don't need someone calling me mentally ill every day in my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
I just don't need it. But let's go to the phones. We have Jared on the line. Jared, you're on Free Talk Live. Oh, what is that? Okay.
You have like a fan in the background or something? It sounds like there's like a whirring noise.
No, shouldn't be.
That wasn't there when I screened the call and talked with you earlier. But anyway, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, you were talking about, you know, Christianity and all that. And like I told you, yeah, I'm pretty well an atheist at heart. But I've kind of come to figure out that throughout every religion, you know, you can pick and choose parts to, you know, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, I hate this, I don't like this. It's just about faith. I mean, hell, there's people that have faith in the Quran, and there's people that have faith in every other religion out there possible.
So what is faith?
What's that?
What is faith?
It's just believing something.
So it's gullibility.
No. Do you believe in whatever you're doing?
I don't know what you mean. What am I doing?
Do you believe in, you know, putting forth a free site project and...
Yeah, but that's not a matter of... That's not a matter of faith. That's a matter... These are ideas I support. So I spread these ideas and I say things in support of these ideas. Right? But I do have... I give it to you. I do take it on faith that the ideas of liberty will work and will produce a better society than one built on the principles of authoritarianism and hatred.
I think that's
I do take that on faith.
Way better way to use the word faith than the way the Christians do. And we've talked about this on the air before. I don't like the fact that the Christians use the word faith. My middle name that I wouldn't change, Faith Hill's name, and I love her. I just think that it's ridiculous that they define the word faith as blindly believing that something exists because someone said so. What it means.
To me, that's blind faith. Like, we already have a term for that, but they're just kind of confusing it. And I do think there are absolutely, in almost every religion, you can take good parts out of it. Like, there's wisdom to be found in every single religion. I'm sure of it. There's also some awful messages in the Bible, as we've, you know, discussed on the show tonight. And I think that could be, you know, you could say that about any religion. So it's not necessarily... I don't know. I wouldn't go as far to say that, I mean, like, Christians are inherently bad, but...
No, I would say they're
gullible,
as good as everyone else.
Gullible, I think, would
and
be
also,
probably
a lot of them
a good
are
word for it.
Ignorant about their own Bible. Like, I hadn't heard the one about... I don't remember the guy's name you even said now. Jephthah. I had never heard that one, and I grew up a Christian, and I know a lot more about the Bible than the average Christian, I would honestly say.
You absolutely do. And I think that's the biggest issue I have with Christians is that most of them call themselves Christians out of, you know, tribalism and out of the and because of the fact that everyone around themselves calls themselves Christians. And, like, they're religious. They believe there is a God or whatever. And everyone around them is a Christian. And that's what everyone around them says. So to go along and get along, they just call themselves Christians when it's meaningless. They could call themselves Muslim and it wouldn't have any impact on their beliefs. So you're exactly right about...
That's one thing I hate, whenever people have to spout that they're a Christian and that they love their brother, their neighbor, and all this stuff, while whenever no one's looking, they turn around and they want to stab their brother or their neighbor.
LRN.FM. Got to end the call there and dump you. And, I mean, you're wrong, and I realized that was likely a mistake. You're not wrong in that it's messed up. I wanted to ask you an example of what you meant by being nice to their face and then stabbing them back. I could guess what you meant, but don't know. Now we can't
find out. Why do Christians believe in taxation if the stealing is wrong in the Ten Commandments? I'm not saying all do. I'm just saying that there's probably way more Christians that think it's totally fine to tax people than there are Christians that realize that is immoral.
I'm sure a lot of Christians don't see taxation as theft. You know, they think, oh, no, we're just giving for the great, you know, like they almost see it as like a donation or something. It's like, okay, well, if it was a donation or me willingly giving part of my income, you wouldn't threaten me at gunpoint if I didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
I like taxation as theft as a phrase because it's catchy.
Yeah.
But it's not theft. Taxation isn't theft.
Extortion.
It's extortion.
But it's like in practice it's theft because you couldn't get it without, right?
I mean, to me, like, they're taking it direct deposit out of my bank account. Or out of my paycheck, rather.
I think it's because that's they true, will
that's
take
stealing.
It from you.
That feels like stealing to me.
That's your employer doing that, though. Like, before payroll deductions happened, you had to each
that's
year
true,
calculate
yeah.
it yourself and said, I think that...
And, you know, and I will admit, I did have to sign a piece of paper to say, like, yeah, this is okay.
But the thing is, they are really accusing you of something that isn't true because the federal income tax is the tax on federal income. And if you don't work for the government, you don't get a federal income. And it's that way because the word federal is not capitalized in their books. So federal is an adjective describing income. So the federal income tax only taxes.
And I suppose they did this in order to get around the Constitution that prohibits them from making direct unapportioned taxes, and that would obviously be a direct unapportioned tax.
Yeah, it's basically like with the COVID stuff, they basically just got the employers to enforce it all, so you couldn't have said, oh, the government's not allowed to do this. Well, the employers are doing it. The employers are voluntarily accusing people of owing money to the government. You're just accepting it because you don't know any better and don't know how to get around it, even if you do.
That is one of the most awful things the U.S. government has ever done that doesn't involve murder was how they turned every taxpayer, I mean, every business owner in the United States into a debt collector, into a tax collector.
One of their cronies.
Yeah. That is a monumental undertaking. It's absolutely disgusting. They do plenty of worse stuff that involves murder and, you know, rape and stuff, but that's the worst thing they've ever done that didn't involve murder and rape. Let's keep going, though. We have Galina on the line from Ukraine. Galina, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, girls.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I've heard you speaking about Bible. I wanted to give a few comments. So I'm an atheist myself, but I was learning Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses for a while. And they taught me a lot of stuff. Like, for example, they are aware that Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying God. Because God said clearly that you can eat from every tree from the garden, but you cannot eat from that tree. And if you eat from that tree, you die.
Right, so and he provided no explanation, no reasoning. He said, don't do this because I say so.
Yes, that's true. And Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't mind that because, you know, he's God, he creates the rules. And he sets the rules and everyone should obey them. And also you were talking about Job. So the book of Job, it starts with Satan speaking with Jehovah, and Satan says that there is no person in the world that is righteous and that loves God from his own will. Like he says to God, no one loves you, like no one loves you. And God says, here is Job, like he's a good man, he's righteous, and I'm confident in him. And Satan says, that's only because... he has everything. He has family. He has cows, sheep. Like, he's rich. That's why he loves you. Take everything from him, and he's not going to be with you. And so because of that, God takes everything from Job and sees if he stays still with him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a horrifying story.
I mean, Satan's perspective is pretty understandable in this worldview where God will punish everyone for not doing what he wants. In that case, the only people who quote-unquote were righteous and would love him probably would only be because they were afraid of him.
And then the way the Bible portrays God, there seemingly is nothing worse to him than attacking that dude's ego and saying, these people don't really love you, they're just afraid of you.
Well, in the point that Bonnie just made, I mean, that's totally true, because there's always, Christians always call themselves God-fearing, like, they say it like it's a good thing. They're like, oh, I'm a good, God-fearing Christian, and they say it like it's a positive thing, but it always just seemed so backwards to me, because when I think of, like, my version of God, or the universe, or whatever you want to call it, I don't fear it.
But see, they don't understand fear and love. And you can see this in that exact person's parenting habits, where they're like, I don't want my kids to love me. I want my kids to fear me. Like, they've completely confused the two, and it's tragic.
And they don't understand respect.
Yes.
Like, I'm able, like, I would rather somebody respect me than fear me, and I respect God, I respect the universe, whatever, but I would never, I don't know, I would just never, I think once I fear somebody, I'm probably not going to respect them or love them.
Right.
That's just kind of how I feel.
So true.
Really good points. Anything else on your mind tonight, Galina?
Yeah, if you still have time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not mind obeying God, because God promises that if you obey me, you're going to be happy. So this is what they do. They do not...
that's what my dog obeys me. If she does, she'll get a treat.
Happy.
It's transactional.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight, Galina. And
at least they're honest about it.
I just don't think that everybody that obeys God is happy. I mean, I'm sure some people are feeling like they're serving God and living a holy life. I'm sure a lot of those people are happy. But I also know a lot of people who are, you know, devoutly religious that aren't happy at all.
Excellent points. Let's get going with the phones. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a couple comments.
Yeah.
And would love your thoughts. One, I feel like that God did not create religion, and that if you strip everything down, including doctrine, all of Christianity is, it would look exactly like a cult. And it's almost like a checklist. To be a Christian, you have to do X, Y, Z. To be in a cult, you have to do X, Y, Z. And
especially with the Catholics, like it's so obvious.
Yes, absolutely. And I just feel like that we live in a world where this is supposed to be a free country and not a religion. And again, God did not create religion. If you believe in God, which if you don't, that's fine, that he did not intend for us to have a checklist. And that's all.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight. And I agree entirely. I mean, I don't believe in a God in that sense, so I would definitely argue that, you know, man created religion. And to me, that seems an obvious statement. Whether there is a God or not, that God hasn't made himself or herself or themselves known. And my only conclusion at this point, based on the religion that I see, is that man created that religion. We are out of time for tonight. You can carry on this conversation with us on our social media server. Feel free to tag me. You'll see me there at social.freetalklive.com if you want to hang out with us at social.freetalklive.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.